Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
This takes you back to your 40s, Steve.
Even earlier.
Yeah.
I love her voice.
Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to all of you. We are back in the room.
Woo!
That's right. Steve Silva.
Yeah.
Amber Ashbury.
Hey, baby.
Producer Zach.
Hi, how are you?
And I am Sean Robbins, your host. Together, we are your Weekly Dose podcast. And, of course, we're streaming to you live from Orange County, California.
I refrained.
Every Saturday morning.
Thank you guys for joining us this week and every week as we pay homage to our favorite radio gods, Mark and Brian, in hopes of getting them into the Radio Hall of Fame this year because they deserve it.
Damn right they do.
Yes, they do. So for those who have recently followed us, thank you for joining our family, and we are so glad you listen to us.
We actually hit 700 followers on Facebook.
Woo!
So
oh my
thank you.
Goodness.
Yeah. 700 followers on Facebook. Thank you guys so much.
You really like us.
Just make sure that you download the show. That's so important, guys.
Yes.
Very, very important. Mm-hmm. So we are listening to Spin Me by Aileen Quinn and the Leapin' Lizards. Actually, we'll be our guests on later on today.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Annie!
Take it easy, yes. Sailor.
And he will be on the show.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, she's...
It's a hard knock life for us.
Well, Austin Powers.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, don't forget, you can interact with the show commenting on our website, yourweeklydose.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Your Weekly Dose 1. Find us on Facebook or email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
Gmail.
Ooh, that's a
click
nice
click my
section.
Gmail.
Where's my
that's
can
my
I?
Maria Banford.
Can
thing.
I?
I would
click
love
it.
To.
Click it.
That's not bad, Amber. That's pretty good. You're getting better
okay,
at that.
Okay, good. See? Yeah.
I'd be afraid I wouldn't be able to stop, though.
Oh, dear. Of course. So not only can you download and click the show for free from our website, but you can also, they're clicking, subscribe to us through iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Sean Stop That, Stitcher Radio, and Spotify. But we need you to download.
And
download
also,
it. Download,
and
download.
Also now.
Yes, absolutely. Don't forget, we are also now syndicated on Situation Radio.
Yes.
So.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, so please make sure if you can't catch us here, catch us on Situation Radio. All you got to do is go to Situation, was it Sitch.com, basically,
yes.
Sitchradio.com, and look for our little logo there.
Your weekly dose.
Exactly. And click on that, and you can catch all of our past episodes on there as well.
Uh-oh, I almost forgot.
What's that?
Don't forget to rate and review the show, please.
All 700 of you.
Please.
Rate the show.
At least half.
Yeah.
Of you. Please.
Yeah. Even if we suck, rate it.
Yes.
Doesn't
just,
matter.
Just click buttons. Just click
you know?
The buttons.
Yeah. Just click the buttons and say, I like Steve. I don't like Steve. I love Steve. I don't want Steve around anymore. Whatever.
Steve.
Whatever it is, you know.
Whatever. I don't care.
Yeah. He doesn't care. So, you know. But yeah, please rate the show. So important for us.
It's not like if enough people don't like me, I start disappearing like Marty McFly.
As always, we have to give a shout out to our sponsor, our big, big, amazing sponsor that we love, Amazon, because without them, we cannot do this show for all of you. And they have been with us since Day one, numero uno.
Uno.
That is correct,
uno, uno.
Amber. There is no better place to go shopping than Amazon. They have everything, so get what you want by shopping on Amazon. Just remember, as Amber says, use our banner.
That's right. Use the banner.
It's easy to do, guys. All you need to do is go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on our Amazon banner, and bookmark it. That way, every time you want to shop on Amazon, you use your bookmark link that you created, and by doing so, you help the show stay on the air.
Plus, you get all your shopping done without facing a bunch of big crowds.
I hate crowds.
Ooh, me too. Anyway.
What did you find today?
Well, this time of year, my big goal is staying warm.
I think that's every day for
that's
you.
That's a good goal for right now. It's a little chilly in Southern California.
Yes, it is. That's when my sinuses go so bad it makes me deaf.
I know, you're wearing a sweatshirt right now, and then Amber's like wearing a life jacket.
My little golf attire here.
Yeah.
And I'm nice and warm.
Yeah, her little hattie.
My beanie.
Oh, ding, ding, that's the secret word right there. I Googled Amazon warm.
Okay.
Came up with some really cool things here. They're these products that, well, they have, it's called Hot Hands is like the name of the company, and they've got three different things. They've got foot warmers.
That was my nickname in college.
And they've got hand warmers.
Were you expelled for that?
And they've got, you know, other warming patches that could warm like your back or your knee.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, those are cool.
So, you know, kinda on
like
Amazon, they can even make you comfortable as well as provide you with shopping pleasure.
Put it in your pockets.
Yeah.
Put it in your pockets. I got something cool this week. So I'm really into, my dermatologist told me that I need to put more.
You like him?
No, it's a lady.
Oh, you like her?
She said I need to be wearing a lot more sunblock more often. And I do. I'm pretty good about sunblock. It's hard in Southern California because it's usually always sunny here, even when it's chilly, you know, it's just so much sunshine. So I've had to get in the habit of just wearing a sunblock every day. So I got this really awesome everyday lotion sunblock. It's like SPF 20. And just
20? You need like 150.
Well, if I'm just going out to walk the dogs or something, and, you know, I don't want to like be bright white with all the, you know how it gets minerally? You get those really all natural ones and it's like you're just coated in white.
Like you are now?
Shut up. I am pale, okay? I have two skin tones, white or like lobster red. And apparently my new one is skin cancer. That's it. That's all I've got.
She's like a glass of milk with hair.
I don't have much hair.
It's good for the dog because if the dog wanders off, all he has to do is turn around and look for the glow.
I'm the shining little white beacon.
Exactly, yeah.
Sunblock.
Well, remember, guys, if you're going to do all your shopping online, there's only one place to go, yourweeklydose.com. And that way, you go to our Amazon banner to get the job done.
Amazon.
Click the banner.
Work hard. Have fun. Make history.
Did you say click the banner or lick the banner?
Click. I did not say lick.
It sounded like lick the banner.
I do not suggest licking any screens unless you have thoroughly disinfected them because your hands are filthy.
Oh, screens.
Screens. Yeah. Yes, your screens.
Yeah.
We have screens.
Because your hands are dirty, but the screen's clean. But
clean the
screen.
The screen
is not clean. You need to clean.
You know what I always thought was funny?
What's that?
That some people I've known in the past have been obsessed with cleaning. You know, you clean the bathroom and everything.
Right.
They're obsessed with keeping the soap dispenser clean.
Oh, no. I don't like it being crusty.
And then, I don't profess for it to be dirty, but it's funny kind of because what's the next thing you do after you touch the soap dispenser? You wash your hands.
Yeah. But if it looks cruddy.
No, but they're afraid of it because, I got to keep that clean.
That's true. Okay, yeah. I get it. I keep everything clean, so I wash the...
Nothing wrong with that.
No, everything's nice. Oh, my God.
Isn't there something... There's a thing called... Howie Mandel was like that. It was like bio...
Yes, he had a thing about touching.
OCD?
Stuff like.
No, it's not OCD, but it's like everything has to be clean.
Yeah. Sounds like OCD to me.
He didn't he didn't like to shake hands or, you know, hug people.
Afraid to.
Agoraphobia is leaving the house, I think. But, yeah, he didn't like... And in his, I heard that in his hotel rooms, he would like lay out paper towel trails to walk on.
I believe it. I believe it.
I do that in my own house sometimes. Just depends.
So that way you know where you're going, or
no? So
you lose yourself in the house?
No. I'm joking.
An arrow says
breadcrumbs.
Bathroom. Another arrow says bedroom. Another arrow says kitchen.
I just change my socks a lot. That's easier. God.
Well, let's catch up with each other, guys.
Does add a nice little flair to it, Sean. Yeah. A little shaker.
Actually, I got this at the NAMM show. So and I got.
Oh, I missed that piece of swag.
I got a bunch of them.
Give me one.
No. Because basically, it's this little shaker. It's like a little barrel, and it has a strap on it. It's a strap on. Excuse me while I strap on my strap on. And it's a little elastic strap, and it goes on my finger. So it looks like it's like a ring pop or something. But what's cool is that when I play guitar, you know, it shakes.
Oh,
so, which is kind of cool. So, yeah, so I'm going to put one like on every finger. And so it's this big old shake kind of a thing. So it's kind of cool.
I want to see that.
Keep me in time. So, but yeah, it's kind of cool.
Where'd you find that? What booth was it at?
It was downstairs in the basement.
Oh, okay. Okay. So.
It was laying on the floor.
The newbie basement.
Yeah. Well, kind of. Yeah. I mean, some people have been down there for years.
Oh, have they?
They deserve to be down there. Yeah. So. If you guys don't understand what we're talking about
the NAMM
show, which stands for the National Association of Musical Merchants. It's something that I do every year. I've been doing it, good God, for at least 25, 30 years now. I've been going to this show. It's a convention, basically, is what it is. And it's where anybody in the music industry, as far as selling musical products is concerned, it's their biggest convention of the year, where they basically go out and debut new products for the new year. So everything from guitars to trumpets to music stands to music software, DJ gear. I mean, you name it, it's there, basically.
It was awesome.
Yeah, and so I got everybody tickets to go in. Poor Zach had trouble getting in on... Was it, you tried to go, what, Thursday?
Friday.
Because it was just so...
Download.
It was so busy. He was even having trouble finding parking.
Oh, yeah.
I spent 45 minutes driving around. I just could not get into anything that had a single spot. It sucked. I wanted to go really bad. I just could not find anywhere to park.
So Kate's buddy, Mitch, he's been going for like, 25, 30 years he's been going.
As long as I have,
and his specialty, he's had several... guitar pick businesses. He's the funniest little dude. So he told me, he said, you cannot go any later than 9. And that's right when you texted me and said, do not get there any later than 9.
Right.
So I did that, and we got great parking.
Yeah. The parking lots, there's, well, knowing that, though, but the thing is, the Anaheim Convention Center is where it's traditionally
huge.
Held at.
Biggest place in Southern California, biggest one.
The longer, bigger one was actually L.A. Convention. They had it there 2 years.
Oh, my goodness.
And... to walk from one hall to the other, it's a long-ass walk, and it was a pain.
I had my Fitbit on. I did 5 miles that day.
I'm so jealous, because I had to stay in my damn booth. Not that I'm complaining, boss. Anyway, it was really cool. I got tickets for everybody. Unfortunately, like I said, Zach was having trouble finding parking, because the parking lots on the property fill up extremely quickly.
Yes.
They really do. And even for us, even though I was an exhibitor, or working for an exhibitor, we still had to pay for parking.
Yeah.
You know, $18 to park.
$18.
But it's a little bit cheaper if you park at the Disneyland parking, which is across the street on Harbor. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit less. And then you just walk across the street because they allow the overflow or whatever.
Yeah.
The hotels don't let you park in their lots because they're strictly for the client, their clients and everything. But it does get... filled up rather quickly.
I'd say next year take an Uber, or not Uber. I hate Uber. Lyft.
Lyft. Okay.
Lyft.
Should have
done
that.
Not a fan of the company Uber.
It's a lot easier sometimes too. You know, to do it that way. I had to work it, so I didn't get a chance to get out too much though, or anything like that. But you were able to come down Saturday.
I did. I went early with Mitch, and we had a great time. It was overwhelming because I wanted to look at everything. There's so much to see. I couldn't see everything. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, it's, and I think my favorites were the Kiesel booth and then the Takamine.
Oh, Takamine. Okay.
Takamine. And then what's the other company with Takamine?
ESP.
ESP, yes. The ESP booth, the Kiesel booth. Oh, man, those Kiesel guitars. Oh, their electrics and their basses. They're beautiful. And then Eventide. Eventide makes the... Eventide or Eventide?
I think it's Eventide.
Okay. But that was great. They had some great performances.
Yeah.
So those are my favorites.
What celebrities did you get to see there?
So I saw... Oh, gosh. What was that gentleman's name? I saw this kid, and his name was...
Oh, I know him.
Oh, shush. Shush. Toby... I should have been more prepared right now. I saw this kid. His name is Toby. I'll figure it out later.
McGuire?
I'll look at my thing. No, it wasn't Toby McGuire.
Oh.
But he was this kid was wailing. I think he was 14, 15, wailing, just blues guitar. Oh, it was just amazing. And that was at, oh gosh, what booth was that at? It was like one of the little corner, like little, stop it. You know what?
Maybe you should take up drinking again.
I know, right? I wasn't going to share the NAMM story today. I was going to share something else, but, gosh, what was this kid's name? He was amazing.
Toby
Zach, I don't
or
know.
Not.
Toby Lee. Toby Lee. Look him up on Facebook. I think I posted some videos of him, actually.
Okay.
But he was incredible. And then who else did I see? Oh, my gosh. I'm failing. If you go to my Facebook page, I put lots of pictures up. You'll see everything.
Cool. Well, I had two really cool experiences. The first one.
Oh, there he is.
Toby Lee.
Hey, wow. Imagine that, looking up somebody.
And he's young.
He's English. He's got this cute little English accent. He's really sweet.
Look at that. He's English.
He's English.
And he plays the blues.
I wonder if he's from Liverpool.
Liverpool, wow.
He's played with all the greats.
I don't know.
Has he really?
Yes. I had no idea he was so famous.
He's from Oxfordshire.
Oxfordshire. Yeah. Well, I had a really good experience. I had one of my lunch breaks. I had lunch with this gal, and her name was Maggie. Oh, no, she's very cute,
I'm
too.
I'm just messing with you.
Oh, no, please, go ahead, because she was, I'm like, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, dear.
How are you? My.
Like that, actually. and she was a redhead, too. She had beautiful highlights.
Okay. Continue on with the point of the story.
So, anyway, she comes over to our booth. We talk production, so I'm trying to give her a few suggestions in telling people who to contact because they might need interns and everything. So she leaves. Half hour later goes by. I have my lunch. I run into her. And so we decided to have lunch together. But we wanted to stop up at this particular booth to see if she could find her third grade teacher. It so happens that it's on the same level that I need to go to, which is where the Takamine booth is.
Okay.
And so I said, well, if I go to yours, you know, we go to mine. She goes, okay, let's go. So we head on up there. We couldn't find her third grade teacher, so then we head over to the Takamine booth. And so she started asking me, why do you like Takamine guitars? So I explained to her, you know, because I have five of them, you know, they're right behind me here.
Yes, you have a plethora of guitars.
Why I like Takamine and everything. And I said, well, because it's the Japanese craftsmanship on them, plus they're an import guitar, so you don't have to pay the high price of a Taylor or a Martin or anything like that, or even a Gibson. You know, and the quality of it, the construction of it, they're a workhorse, basically. And I just kind of go into it. Mm-hmm. And there was a fellow that was in front of us. He was kind of blocking the view of some of the guitars hanging on the wall. But I started to point out to her, you know, well, there's even a lot of country artists use Takamine. Mm-hmm. I said, for example, here's Garth Brooks's model, and it's hanging on the wall. Here's the one that Toby Keith uses. Here's the one that Kenny Chesney uses. And she's like, oh, wow. And I said, not only that, I said, there's a lot of other rock performers that use Takamine. I said, Bruno Mars uses it. I said, Bruce Springsteen uses a Takamine. I said, one of my favorite guys, John Bon Jovi, strictly uses Takamine guitars. And I said, matter of fact, that black one there, I think, is probably the model that John uses. And again, we kind of talk about, you know, the construction and everything and how they are. Well, the guy that's standing in front of us turns around and says, I agree with everything he says 100%. And I look at him and say, well, thank you. It's John Shanks.
I thought you were going to say John Bon Jovi.
No.
But John Shanks is also
John
good.
Shanks, who's produced the last 9 Bon Jovi albums, basically. So, which is kind of cool. So, and then we got to talk to John for about 15 minutes and everything about, you know, the Takamine guitars. And I said, okay, you've played other ones. Now you're switching over to Takamine himself because of John. Mm-hmm.
I said, what is that you like about it? And he goes, no, you're right. He goes, sometimes a Martin is too warm and you can't, and if you cut off that low end, you lose the guitar.
Interesting.
Sometimes the Taylor guitars, they're too compressed because the wood isn't opened up yet. So you're not getting the full body sound of it. Where he goes, all of John's guitars, all the Takaminis that he uses, he goes, they're a workhorse night after night after night, whether it's he's in front of five people, you know, or whether he's in front of 50,000, it doesn't matter. It's going to perform exactly the same way, you know. But I just thought, you know, out of all the people in the world,
John Shanks.
We're talking about, you know, Takamine guitars, it turns out to be John Shanks, you know. Yeah. And then the second thing that happened to me was that, which was kind of cool because it was a reunion, so to speak. And my wife, Karen, was asking me.
Did somebody just snort?
I don't know. Of where we could find certain people at or whatever. And I said, well, I go, I know that Gary Hoey, who's a buddy of mine, is going to be around.
is
coming in for NAMM. And
All right.
So I said, there's two places you're going to be able to find Gary. I said, it's either going to be at the GHS booth or the Fender booth. So I think it was Saturday when you came in. I had lunch, and we decided to go up to the Fender booth to go find another friend of ours that works for Fender. We no sooner get off the escalator, there's Gary Hoey. The last time my son saw Gary, Roman was a baby. And I have a picture of Gary holding Roman.
So, I think you posted those.
So we had to get an updated picture now. And I'm going, hey, remember that baby you held 15 years ago? I go, that's him right there right now. So, yeah.
They grow fast.
We got an updated picture.
They grow quickly.
It's good. But Gary's going to be on the program. We were talking and everything. So I can't wait for him to, we just have to schedule it out between his tour schedule and everything. So. But no, NAMM was fun. You know,
I had a blast,
and I'm glad you guys. You know,
I didn't expect to stay as long as I did. We were there from 9 until about 5:30-ish.
Oh, so you almost stayed the whole day.
I didn't expect to, but there would just be someone else and someone else and then someone else to see.
Friday and Saturdays are the worst days to go, but they're also the best days to go because so many celebrities come out.
Yeah, it was really,
you know,
cool.
Matter of fact, what was it? I can't think of his name right now. But the bass player for Weird Al Yankovic was walked by our booth. I can't think of his name either. But the guitar player for Night Ranger, Brad Gillis.
Oh, yeah.
Walked by our booth also.
Mitch was talking about him.
So,
That ESP booth, when we were there, because Mitch knows Jeff, the CEO of the company who lives in Phoenix with him, our other buddies. We were in there and it was packed. You could not move. And he's like, they're so-and-so and they're so-and-so and they're so-and-so. And I'm like Googling. And I'm like, holy crap.
I wonder if he could get me a Richie Sambora guitar then.
If you got the cash, I'm probably.
Well, no, because the ESP made.
The Richie Sambora guitar.
Yeah, his electric one, though, which is actually an original. It was a certain design that Richie,
Mitch, if you're listening,
that Richie did with a luthier in New York, and they made a budget version of it. But ESP was the only one who distributed it, so I think they did for like a year or two. That'd be kind of cool.
We'll talk to Mitch.
Mitch, call in right now, Mitch. Yeah. So,
hey Zach, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
He's here.
I'm doing good.
He's here.
Yeah.
He's showing off his new tattoos today.
I am.
It's a cold day in Southern California by our standards.
Yeah.
And we're all bundled up here, except for Zach is in his
tank top.
Little show-off tank top.
As usual.
Yep. With all of his sick tats.
I don't do it for the sole purpose of showing off tattoo art. I do it because I just don't really get cold. Like, I just have so much meat on me that I'm just... Like, if I were to dress up like you guys, or like especially Amber, I'd be sweating bullets.
I'm starting to a little bit. My little life jacket's getting me a little.
Yeah. See.
Yeah.
I'm not susceptible to cold. unless I go to New York and all that, and when it's snowing, then that's a different story. Yeah.
Very, very true.
Everyone was focused on me taking my vest off. Sorry. Where's my Misfits sweatshirt, by the way? We're going to start dressing as twins, Zach and I.
Are you guys really?
Yeah.
No, we really are. But yeah, but I got to
get
it,
the same little khaki shorts. I'm going to get the same Vans that he wears. I'm going to get my little snapback hats.
See, I'm going to be ready to go when summer comes around. Well, I'm always dressed for summer.
Steve, you unfortunately did not get a chance to go to... Oh, we good?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But you didn't get a chance to go to NAMM because of something happened with your knees. What was going on with your knees?
Well, okay, years ago, I got hurt playing basketball in college, blew out my knee.
Oh.
It got repaired, and I was fine. I still played and everything. In fact, after that, I played in the Summer Pro League in L.A. for a couple years and stuff like that. Then I did something really stupid. I started playing racquetball.
Oh, I love it.
I do, too. I love racquetball.
So hard in the knees.
Oh, but
you gotta really...
It screwed my knees up royally. Yeah. So now, the last time I was at the orthopedic surgeon, he took a x-ray of it. He kind of laughed. He goes, it doesn't even look like a knee anymore. Aww. I go, well, can you clean it up? Or there's nothing we can do for that other than to replace it.
Wow.
So I'm like, okay. So
you gonna do it?
Anyway, what happens is, as I live, just every once in a while, for no reason, like the cartilage comes through on the left side, and it disrupts the muscle, and it hurts like hell.
Yeah.
And sometimes it just takes like an hour or so, and it goes back in, and other times it takes, like this time, took 3.5 days.
For two.
So it was like torture just to get up and go to the bathroom.
Exactly.
That was it.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry you didn't get a chance to go to the NAMM show either.
God, all I've heard all my life working at Disney is NAMM, and our friend Carl goes to NAMM, he plays guitar and stuff.
Well, there's always next year, so as long as I'm still working
next
with...
Next year will be fun.
As long as I'm working with Trident, I'll get you guys in again, so don't worry about that.
And next year, we'll all park over at the Disney lot where I can get free parking.
Nice.
There you go.
And you know what? Mitch had trouble with his knees, too. And I'll carry you around like I carried him around.
There you go.
I'll just do two old men on both sides of me.
There you go. Well, today's guest, guys, is no stranger. Oh my God, he's no stranger to the entertainment industry. She's been seen on TV, film, and Broadway. I got to work with her every day when she played Toodles alongside Kathy Rigby as Peter Pan. Today's guest holds a special place and role in movie history. See, she got to play the title role of Annie in the 1982 film alongside Carol Burnett, Tim Curry, Bernadette Peters, and the great Albert Finney. Today, you can catch her live with her rockabilly band called the Leaping Lizards, performing all over Southern California. So please welcome to the show my friend, Miss Aileen Quinn, and her musical partner, Tom Murray. Hi, guys.
Hi there. Good morning.
Hey, Sean.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing, yes.
Doing great.
Yes. And I forgot that we worked together on Peter Pan. Is this true, Sean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
Because we worked together over at the La Mirada Theater. And then when you guys started...
Went on tour.
Then they would just call me in for certain shows when they needed me. Because some theaters were bigger, some theaters were smaller. So they would just find me in to do the shows.
That's
and everything.
That's wild. So this is a reunion for us. Nice.
Another reunion. Yes, exactly.
What year was that?
God, that was mid-90s, I think, like 94, 95?
Yeah, like 95, 96, 96, I think. 96, 97, that's right, because I moved to California the first time after that. Yeah, 96, 97.
Okay, yeah. And I got to tell you, I was watching some interviews of you, Aileen, as a young child when doing the Annie interviews.
Yes.
She is the same person when I first met her and as she is now. I mean, she has not changed. And
everyone says that. I'm like, I have grown up a little, but you're right.
You've grown to a beautiful woman, absolutely. But as far as the attitude and everything, it's the same.
Yep.
You know, it's absolutely the same. So, overall, since we've both had you guys on at the same time, we're going to try and go back and forth between the two of you, though.
Yes.
So, ladies first, of course. So, Aileen, you've been acting from a very, very young age, and I was really surprised about that. Who were your biggest influences, though?
Well, truthfully, it was within the family because I'm the third generation performer. So truthfully, besides people on TV, which we may or may not get into, my grandmom would play songs at home. She loved to play the piano. So that's where a little bit of the piano comes in with me and probably the songwriting. And she was more... she sang at clubs, so she was also a dancer, and she had some little kind of not a band, but like cabaret kind of thing at a local Irish pub, which is funny because we got one of our starts in the Irish pub in LA. So that's I did feel her spirit because she passed a few years back, and I did feel her. I actually said that to Tom, uh-huh. who's sitting right next to me here, that I did feel her spirit that first night we sang there, because I'm sure she was smiling up there. And my mom was up. She was more the Broadway and the theater girl, musical theater, singer, dancer, actress. So really, they were my original influences, yes.
That's cool, though. So you always had the backing there from day one.
Yeah, it's in the genes. I can't fight it. I've tried, but it just doesn't work.
That's cool, though. That's cool. Now, we all know that you, when you were 10, you got the role for Annie, of course. And so many child stars go down the wrong path at times. We've seen it over and over again. But what kept you grounded and away from the dark side of Hollywood?
Well, again, goes back to the family. My mom was a school teacher for, I think, 32, 33 years, a long time.
Oh, wow.
And we still had to do our chores. And even after I came back from Annie, it was like, well, you know, I know you just came back from this major tour around the world to promote it, too. But yeah, it's your turn for dishes tonight. So I think my mom kept me grounded.
That's good, though. That's
and Dad,
good.
Too, very much so. Both of them.
That's yes. good. Tom, like Aileen, you are also from the East Coast. What led you down the road to become a musician?
Well, you know, when I was a real little kid, for some reason, I was pretty much, because I played drums, I was pounding on everything. We'd be driving in the car, I'd be in the back seat, and I'd be, you know, with my hands just pounding on the back of the seat in front of me. And then, you know, I got a hold of some coffee cans, and I used pencils on the old coffee cans. So, yeah, I was 6 or 7 years old. And somehow or somebody had the wherewithal to say, you need to get this kid a set of drums. So 7 years old, my seventh birthday, I got my first set of drums. And
wow.
Yeah, I was pretty lucky. And I was even luckier because my grandmother, speaking of grandmothers, who babysat us as kids, was hard of hearing.
Perfect.
So I was very blessed. I, you know, not only did I choose the loudest instrument you could play, but my caretaker couldn't hear a thing I was doing. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, because I was going to say, man, 7 years old to get a drum set. What the hell were your parents thinking?
Yeah. Well, my mom, you know, my mother was a single parent, and so she worked all day. So she figured, well, I'm not going to be home to listen to this thing. So, you know, have at it. And, you know, luckily I had older brothers and sisters, and they were probably my first musical influences because they had Beatles records. And
oh, yeah.
My older brother was really into country music. So, I'd hear him playing Hank Williams and Ernest Tubbs and all those guys in one room. And then my sister would come home and put on, you know, Beatles and all the big bands from the 60s. So I would just plug in a cassette earphone and play along to them. And I guess Ringo was kind of my first drum teacher. I don't know.
I think that's everybody's first drum teacher.
Right.
You know,
right.
Yeah, absolutely. Aileen, the role of Annie was such a game changer for you. And but because of that role afterwards, did you get typecasted a little bit? Was it hard to be seen as anything else?
I did for a little bit, definitely. And what a lot of people don't know is I was under contract for 7 years to make more Annies. So either way, I wasn't going to be, you know, working, I guess, between the ages of, because I was 9 when I filmed it and I turned 10 in the middle of filming. So either way, until I was 17, I wasn't really going to do anything else either. So I met with directors and I read movie scripts. They were going to be more like the comic strip where I get like kidnapped and, you know, Punjab and ask, rescue me. So it was going to be more like that. And I don't know what happened like to,
you know, I was
going
to gonna, I was gonna yeah, ask so, you that because I did hear a rumor that about Annie, that there were supposed to be like 2 or 3 or 4 other films.
Right. I think it was going to be like a Superman at the time. All those 80 movies with the Raiders of the Lost Ark, like right. Always like 3 at least. So, yes, I met 2 directors, read 2 different scripts, and they both fell through within a year or two.
Wow.
But I was still under the contract. But although it didn't let me bounce off and I had to turn other sitcoms and things down, it kind of was a blessing in disguise, like you're talking about, like stars that fall off the rails, because in a way I got to grow up, you know, kind of normal. I mean, I had like met the Pope at that time and had been around the world and Prince and, you know, the gang in England, I'd met them, you know, Prince Philip. So yeah, I wouldn't say I had a completely normal life, but I was able to be a teenager and go through the normal teenage life in high school because I was under contract, but I kept active in theater always. I've never stopped doing theater ever in my life since, interesting, Tom, that you were seven, since the age of seven. Mm. The same age we started.
Wow.
Interesting.
I just love the fact that Aileen just kind of goes, I met the Pope and the gang in England, you know. Those royal people, you know.
I was trying to think which one I met. I was like, Prince Philip, and right. I did not meet the Queen.
Oh, that's funny.
I met Nancy Reagan. The Reagans were in the president. I guess I had a normal life after age 10 and 11 when I was doing all the film stuff, maybe between 12 and 17.
So that pretty much kind of saved you then overall.
Mm-hmm. You said the contract kind of saved me?
Yeah.
Yes. In a way, it really did, to be honest with you. And maybe that's why I've had more longevity with my career, because, like I said, I know what it's like to be a quote unquote normal person, too, whatever that means.
Yeah, right? No, exactly. Exactly. Tom, there's been a number of drummers out there who transitioned from drummer to songwriter. Of course, we lost recently the great Neil Peart. Phil Collins has done it. Dave Grohl has done it, just to name a few. How did you make the leap from drummer to songwriter?
I always like to kind of play around with words. I mean, when I was in high school, in English classes and things like that, I mean, it's cliche to say, but I wrote poetry and like a lot of kids do, and I had kept a journal. And then one of the bands I was in when I was in high school, when we would be sitting around, you know, not rehearsing, I would just pick up somebody's guitar, and I kind of self-taught myself to play guitar and ask those guys what the chords were. And so I, you know, just to kind of amuse myself. And then when I got into my 20s, you know, I started just kind of fooling around, you know, like, maybe I can write a song. And, you know, I really enjoy writing the lyrics. You know, and it was pretty much that. And then I was a singing drummer as well. Mm-hmm. You know, my early influences being actually Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees.
Really?
We used to kind of mime along to their show when we were 7-8 years old. And then, you know, Don Henley from the Eagles, you know, was a big, big singing drummer influence. And
right.
Then, like you mentioned, Phil Collins. And so it was pretty much that. And then I just kept trying to write my own songs, and I would play them for band members, and they would say, well, that's pretty good. Let's play that one. So I thought, okay. And you know, like anything, that gives you the confidence to want to do more. So it was pretty much that. Learning to play guitar.
Now, do you know how Mickey Dolenz became the drummer for the Monkees though, or why he got chosen to play that role?
I heard that, I don't know if it was him specifically. I heard that Stephen Stills had tried out for it and got turned down.
Well, Stephen Stills did try out, and they liked his look overall, but they wanted somebody to have a little bit more straighter teeth, basically. So he says, well, I've got a roommate of mine who looks almost exactly like me, you know, and that ended up being the great Peter Tork.
Wow.
But how Mickey got the role for being the drummer is all four guys were already chosen, and they said, okay, first off, we need to pick the drummer. Well, Davy Jones obviously was too short to be the drummer. So basically Mike, Peter, and Davy took one step back, and Mickey was left there by himself, and he didn't realize it. And that's how he became the drummer, basically,
That's a great story. I'd never heard that. It actually sounds like a monkey skit, you know, shows.
Yeah, but I know it was years later, though, like after the Monkees broke up, though, right after the show went off the air, Frank Zappa actually asked Mickey Dolenz to be the drummer for the Mothers of Invention.
Oh, wow.
So can you imagine if that actually happened?
Yeah, really, really. Well, it's a coincidence, because that's the reason why Aileen's not the drummer in our band, because she's not.
Nice. Poor Aileen. She's only 5 foot. Come on.
Hey, you leave us short girls alone.
That's funny.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Aileen, I know you took a break from show business for a while, and you attended Drew University in New Jersey.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. You received a bachelor's basically with honors in Spanish, and then minored in political science. What were you thinking?
I like that melange. That's nice. That's very well rounded.
Why those two subjects?
Well, first of all, I had had a friend in high school that was a high school exchange student, so Karina Perez-Zavala. So I was very influenced by just the culture and the language. I thought it was beautiful, and I was starting to meet people in my community that spoke Spanish. So that was always a passion.
Okay.
And my mom loves it because in college, I became a member of Sigma Delta Pi. We don't say Pi, we say Pi. And I got to live in Chile for 6 months. So I loved that. So I always had the Spanish thing going since high school. So that was my favorite class in high school. Now, the political science came in there because, you know, I was thinking of maybe pulling a Shirley Temple, like I alluded to at the beginning of this interview, maybe, you know, giving up the business.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, well, all right, what's very similar to acting? Politics.
It's true. Right? So true.
As we know now.
Yeah. Yes, very much so.
But I was trying to do better. I was going to join the Peace Corps was the goal after college. And then I was going to work my way into maybe being an ambassador, say, to maybe Chile or somewhere like that, one of the Latin American countries. That was kind of the goal. And the joke is that my agent, who had been so patient for 4 years while I was going to the university, finally said to me, Aileen, you just got to go to this Fiddler on the Roof audition, of course, like this Irish looking girl. Uh-huh. And I said, oh, Edie, I don't have time. I had this interview for the UN next week. I really did. I actually had an interview set up because I had a connection.
Wow.
And so just go, just sing your brains out. Just do what you do. Dance, just do it. And of course, the joke is it was a long 1 day audition. And of course, I got it and kept doing theater, and the rest is history.
Wow.
Never made to the Peace Corps or the UN or ambassador, but maybe that was a blessing in disguise too.
Yeah, exactly.
Looking right at the current state of politics, you dodged a bullet there.
I think I did. Yes. See, so sometimes when one door closes, it's a good thing.
Serendipity.
Yeah, exactly. Tom, I saw that you and I have a friend in common, which is Marky Lennon of the band Venice. How did you guys get to know each other?
We met back in the early 80s. I was in a local band here in Santa Monica, Venice, and our guitar player had played in the band with the older Lennon brothers. You're familiar with Venice and the whole lineage,
uh-huh.
Right? So he had played in a band with the original kind of Lennon brothers, and then we just started playing gigs together. They, you know, Venice would open a show and then we'd close it, and then they would we would open for them, and we just played all the local clubs. And you know, we'd all attend the same parties and barbecues. And over the years, you know, I just kept in touch with them, and vice versa. I'd go see them play, and it was pretty much that. I've known those guys since about 1980. They're a great band, and
they are just
a great family. Really are.
Yeah, and it's funny because I got to meet Marky a few years back during one of the Temecula Valley Music Awards, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to go see some other friends of mine, which are the Nelson Brothers, and mm-hmm. Marky shows up, and I'm thinking, whoa, wait a minute, how do you know the guys? And he goes, well, my cousin was their guitar player, Joey Cathcart. I'm like, what a small world,
mm-hmm.
you know, of everything. So it's, it just, the more I think, Aileen, you could probably attest to this also, is that the more you stay in the industry, the more, you know, 6 degrees of separation you guys have from one another, or everybody has from one another.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize our connection, Sean. I just saw you at the gig, one of our gigs recently. I forgot about that. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, too, is that we actually met a year ago when you guys played at the NAMM show.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
2 years ago, I think.
Is it 2 years?
That's right. Yeah, 2 years
ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right?
I know, we were supposed to play outside at that their big stage, but it got rained out.
Oh, that's right. And they had to move you guys inside. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, luckily Quilter Labs took us in and let us perform there, which was awesome.
Right.
That's very generous of them.
Yeah.
So do you know our bass player, Chris Smith, being in the kind of vicinity down there, Long Beach? And
mm-hmm.
I've seen him from time to time through the years, since I live so close to it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, how did the two of you guys meet, and why the name The Leaping Lizards?
Okay, well, I'll start this one, but you can add in, Tom. Well, I was saying to him before we called in this morning that I wouldn't have met these awesome guys that I've met and my awesome songwriting partner if I didn't vocalize in the shower every morning, as based on my musical theater, as people know in hotel rooms that have toured with me, tradition. So poor people that are all my neighbors. This goes out to all my neighbors, this podcast. And I should give them all my albums. So yeah, pretty much I was still trying to maybe do theater out here as well as audition for TV. So I had my first apartment, which was small and very close to my neighbor, Anne Marie. And I was vocalizing. And one day she met me by the mailbox. And she's like, Aileen, I've been meaning to talk to you. And I'm like, I know. I'm so sorry. I'm a singer. I did Broadway and I do musical theater here. I had an audition today. I'm so sorry. And she goes, no, I love it. She goes, I can tell you've done Broadway. You're like a professional singer, aren't you? And I said, why, yes, I am. And she's like, I want you to meet my ex, and he needs a female singer. And long story short, again, like you said, the business musical theater and musicians is so small. That person connected me to Tom, and again, the rest is history. So vocalize in the shower, and you may get discovered or get a band.
There you go. Yeah, nice. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And the funny thing is I think
answer that one, Tom, because you're even the one that updated the name. Oh. Well, the name of course, you know, the guys and, you know, the original band we were talking about, you know, how should we go there with the name once they realized that I was going to very much be the lead singer? Uh-huh. Should we go there? Should we tie in the Annie or not? And then I said, well, the only thing that sounds like a fun rockabilly name would be like Leaping Lizards, because I didn't even realize, and they've been doing some screenings, Sean, that I've been going to around the country, and I'm sure they will next year for the, you know, big anniversary for the 40th. It's frightening to say that. But
it is, isn't
when
it?
When I seen it on the screen, yes, I know, scary. I know, we're dating ourselves. Several characters say it throughout the movie. I believe Albert Finney says it when he's in shock that my parents are fakes, like Leaping Lizards. I think Carol says it. Everybody says it, so it just seemed natural. And then Tom was gracious enough recently to say, well, since you are the lead singer and people do recognize you, why don't we call it Aileen Quinn and the Leaping Lizards? But we go by both, and I think it's funny too. And then it has so much fun with the whole lizard symbol and everything, and it sounds like a perfect rockabilly name.
Yeah, no, I thought it was perfect too, because I didn't know the story, but I wanted the guys in the room and in our audience to hear the story behind it, because it is such a perfect tie-in, I think, for you overall.
It really is, and it just fits the whole genre and everything. It fits, right?
Yeah, and when you said the 40th anniversary, I'm going, holy gosh, she's right. Because I'm only a year older than you. So,
okay, which we're not going to say that out loud. But
No, we're not, because everybody knows that I'm in my 30s, so we're okay.
Right. Wait a minute. Well,
exactly. Well. We're both still under 40, exactly.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
I'm 35 for the fifth time. No
exactly.
big deal.
Yeah.
Well, you're a little younger than me. I'm 37, going on 38. Right.
I'm 12.
right.
So why rockabilly style of music, though? Was this a conscious decision, or was it something that the two of you decided to do?
Well, the original kind of couple of guys that were kind of putting this together were, you know, they're really into kind of rockabilly and country. Mm-hmm. So and car shows, which, you know, obviously rockabilly is really big on the car show circuit. So it was just kind of that. It was, you know, again, even though we're all in our 30s, you know, we have a vast repertoire of 50s and 60s music that we've been exposed to, you know, just through the ether, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it just seemed like a natural fit. We all got in a room together and started playing, and it was like, okay, this is pretty cool. And then Aileen walked in, and, you know, with the voice of hers, it was like, all right, this is a good thing. Let's do this.
Right. And for me, just that is very true what he said about the original members and their, you know, what they grew up with, so to speak, in their 30s. But yes, also for me, the timing of this, I had just moved to California, and living on the west side where I do, there are a lot of classic cars, and I didn't see that a lot in the New York City City area where I was hanging out. So, because, you know, it's, nobody drives there. So I was seeing all these cool cars, and I was starting to get into that, which I would love to own one someday. And then I had seen around the same time that the vocalizing and bringing me into the band, a special on the Women of Rockabilly that was on TV.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was like, wow, those feisty women, especially Brenda Lee and Wanda Jackson. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. I kind of like that. And then these guys were introducing me to this music that I kind of knew about, but not as much as they did. And I was like, wow, this is really cool and really fun. So it just grew from there.
Was it an easy switch for you, Aileen, to go from, you know, singing Broadway style into this style of music?
Actually, it was, because I actually, as much as I love my Broadway and have done that for many, many years, like over 30, I've always been in my heart, kind of, I get this from my dad, if my dad's listening out there to this podcast,
hi, Dad.
Like very Motown and R&B. And so for me, I've kind of always wanted to do more of this pop genre. And the last show I did before I moved to LA on a Broadway national tour was Saturday Night Fever, where I played Annette. And so I was already starting to do all the pop and everything. So I was excited about this new project and was like, ooh, this is kind of what I want to be doing right now.
Cool. Very nice.
But I still love my Broadway too, of course.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, that's so in you. I mean,
yes, it's so my bread and butter for over 30 years.
Yeah, exactly. Tom, when you guys sit down and write a song, do you already have your producer hat on and thinking ahead? Or are you more into the moment of just writing the song itself?
It's a little bit of both, but it's probably, you know, let's flesh the song out. And then, you know, the producer part may come in with the arranging. Okay, what, you know, where's the verse, chorus, bridge, solos, et cetera. But originally, you know, one of us will come in with a song title and maybe, you know, some lyrics and some melody. And then we just kind of sit down and flesh it out from there. And then as we work up a demo to bring to the band, and then the band contributes their parts to it, that's when kind of the producing comes in more.
Got it. Okay. So,
yeah.
So since you guys do collaborate together, and I know you kind of answered this a little bit, though, but what is the process for the two of you? Is it where you have different ideas and throw it off one another, or you guys kind of almost do it Nashville style where you're sitting in the room and see what you kind of come up with the day, or is it a mixture of everything?
It is a mixture of everything. The lucky thing, like I said, that Tom and I found each other because we both write separately and together. And if my mom is listening with my dad right now, she will agree with this. She's like, you're both really good songwriters, but she's like, for some reason, when you and Tom together come together with songwriting, it's magic, you know, because I've tested her and I've played different things and she'll be like, oh, is that one you guys are working on together? And I'll be like, yeah, and she's like, it's really good before it's even fleshed out. So I think that we're really good because we not only both have good storytelling and different ideas about lyrics, and Tom is very strong with lyrics. I will say that about you, Tom.
Gee, thanks. I talk good.
No, it's true. He really, I believe he wrote poetry. I just found that out today when he was younger. But, and I tend to have a lot of melody in my head. And as you know, my band members would tell you, I tell all the sax players, and I hear horns in my head, and they say, yeah, there's no pill for that. Sorry. So, I hear a lot of the music. So, but what's interesting is that I think the reason we're such a good team is because although we're alike and we're both really good storytellers and we have that in common with our storytelling, because Tom did grow up with very different music and I think in his personal life listens to different music than I do, it's a nice match and like checks and balances and becomes very universal, the melodies, because we're different but alike. Do you know what I mean? So it's a good combination.
Does it, with that kind of combination, are you guys able to push each other and push the envelope a little bit more with each other and get more out of it?
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. Like I said, we come in with an idea and then it kind of takes off from there. And then, you know, it changes, or, you know, we're just through experimentation, we try different things and, And, you know, I'd heard a long time ago that some famous songwriter had said, the song will tell you what it wants or what it needs.
True.
And it is true. And I don't know if you, did we get you a copy of our CD, the new one?
I have both. Yeah.
So there's a song on there called Kinda Sorta Man. And we were working on it, and Aileen decides to do a rap in it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I was originally, I was like, no.
See, that's where he's good. Checks and balances. No.
It's like, in, you know, instead of no crying in baseball, it's like there's no rap in rockabilly.
Especially 1920 swing. Yeah.
But then, you know, the more we worked on it and she did it, it works great in the song. And I never personally would have done that.
No, he would not.
Yeah, because I can almost imagine the direction of like, Aileen, can you be less white? You know, or
oh no!
can we get more oomph in it? You know, can we get more
cowbell?
Yeah, can we get more cowbell?
That's funny. But see, that's what's good about the two of us. And there was one song on the first album, Spin Me, that was Mama Didn't Raise You Right. And I was going to go a little further with a lyric. And that's what I mean about the checks and balances. So he let me go with the rap with this one. But on that one, he's like, you can't say that. He's like, do you really mean that? Would that really happen? I was like, all right. I went too far. So that's what I mean. It's kind of good.
That's cool. It's good to have a partner like that, though. It really is.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Aileen, when learning to write the songs, was this a challenge for you, or was the learning curve much easier because you've been singing most of your life?
No, it came surprisingly easy, and that's something that actually shocked me. So I, like Tom, I wasn't writing poetry. Uh-huh. That makes sense that he was writing poems. I've always been writing scripts and scenes, and they were getting picked for like the basement drama series at your university. So I was always a writer as well. The reason the melodies came to me, and I think they still do, and hopefully they'll keep coming, knock on wood, is that I had an injury that was unexpected. And I'm such a physical person. When I get stressed, besides humming in the backseat of the car on car trips, which my mom and dad will attest to, I do hum when I get stressed. So music has always been a part of it. And I always play the radio or listen to my Walkman back in the day and iPod now. But I had a knee injury. And I kind of was not able to go to the gym and dance for about 2 or 3 months in the healing phase. And I had all this energy and all these feelings and emotions. And it started with this one song, You Better Slow Down, because I kind of, unfortunately, like injured myself. I added an extra move to something and there was a bad show shoe too on top of it with a nail sticking out. So it was a combination freak accident. And so I had all these emotions and that's when melodies started to come to me. And one was this song, which hasn't been on a record yet, but it will. And that's kind of the first one. And then I thought, ooh, this is very healing and fun. And so then instead of writing scenes, it became, you know, song lyrics and melodies, which I always had in my head. Like I said, there's no cure for that.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's great. We have a friend of ours, Tracy, and she wrote for the TV show Ellen. And she got a Grammy or Emmy for it, rather.
Wow.
She wrote the puppy episode. And we were talking to her, like, how is it easier to write more lyrical and get more detailed in her lyrics because she has been a TV writer, you know? And she said, yes, it was. But she also took lessons from Harriet Schock on writing. Mm. So she kind of uses that type of theory in her writing. Did you ever take any formal writing afterwards, or is it just still natural for you, Aileen?
No, it is more natural. And Tom and I joke about it. So I did have, as I referred to with my grandmother's genes, a little piano in my teens during that normal period. Supposedly growing up and doing my chores and going to school and high school. I was playing a little bit. So I do play a little bit, but Tom has far more music theory. And again, that's one of, you know, the strengths and the teamwork. I hear stuff in my head, but no, I'm not as formally trained. But now I probably will get into it. And I was saying that this year I want to get back into playing piano again for many reasons. But yeah, it does just kind of come naturally to me, and rhythms, because I'm a tapper and I'm a dancer too. So one of the songs, like from the first album, I actually had that rhythm first, that bump 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 bump, like that just sums up like that. And I think Dolly Parton said that. I think I'm more like a Dolly Parton writer. You know how first at 9 to 5 she was doing her nails,
right?
I do that on the table and whatever. So maybe I secretly do want to be a drummer top, but I'm too short.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mickey Dolenz is hiring.
Hey, I can set you guys up. I got connections, so I can set you guys up with that.
Yeah, all right. Nice.
After the song is written and everything, Tommy, you mentioned earlier that you guys present it to the band. What changes or how many changes are there made to that overall?
You know, it's really just kind of subjective to the song. There's a song on the record, the new record, called Dance With My Baby. And when we finished it, just writing it, you know, on guitar, and we brought it into the, and I wasn't quite sure how we were going to pull it off. Is it, you know, was it going to be a full-blown swing song? What was going to happen? And when we brought it in, our bass player, he just started playing this great, you know, kind of walking rhythm to it. And it was exactly what the song needed. And it just pushed the whole song along, you know, just great. I was thrilled when he played it that way. And he just did that naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be things like that, or we'll be running the song down. It'll be like, well, you know, maybe this verse should be here, or maybe we should switch this bridge. Maybe we'll finesse the intros and the outros and things like that. But we try to do our best to bring it in as completed as possible, but we're lucky enough to work with such wonderful musicians that when these guys get a hold of it and they put their stamp on it, you know, it just takes it to a whole other level.
New level. That's great.
Yes. Great band.
Speaking of the two albums, the first one is called Spin Me, and the latest release is called Thunder and Lightning. And I take
Lightning and
Thunder. Lightning and Thunder. I'm sorry. I'm dyslexic. I was a kid at Halloween going, hi, trick or trout. So I take it that now these are obviously indie releases. Are they both rockabilly, or is there a progression between the two albums?
Yeah, they're
not both. I wouldn't say they're both rockabilly.
No,
the first one is probably a little more rockabilly blues, maybe.
Agreed, and rock, and a lot of rock and roll,
rock,
and even a little psychobilly. One song when all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
Inspired on a real life event.
Yeah. We had a bad day, so we had to write a song about it.
Better than therapy. Yeah.
But sometimes it is. You're right. You're right.
Right.
Well, you write what you know, as they say.
Yes. Yeah. The second one, kind of, I think, was more influenced by all the loyal swing dancers that have been following us, like really around LA a lot for the past 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. And of course, with my, as I spoke earlier in this interview about the Latin influences, you'll notice on the album, like living in Chile and South America, right, and speaking Spanish, you can hear that too. So I think we tried to bring it all together, and it saw the blues in there, even with the blues cover, which apparently the blues radio stations love. And you found that song for me, Tom. Tell me.
Yeah.
By Dolly, right?
Yeah, we do two cover songs on the new record. One is called "Tell Me, Tell Me," and a couple of the blues stations have been playing that song.
Nice.
It's a great song. It was written by the guy that wrote for the Platters back in the 50s. Yeah, and it was a real kind of obscure 45 that we found, and so we just, you know, and it fits right in with the rockabilly swing stuff. So
yeah.
That was a great find for us.
I do feel like in this second album that Tom and I think, and we've talked about, have matured as like writers. Like the first, I love the first album. It's really fun, but they're very different. I think both albums are very different. I do think, I mean, there's similarities, but I do think that they're different, and we've kind of matured, don't you think, Tom?
Evolved
in our second album.
Evolved, yes.
You got a little taller, I think, on this record.
Oh, thank God. I got that extra inch.
Yeah, I was going to say, so now Aileen's like 5'1". Yeah, so.
Yes, right. Yes. Finally.
And I put on 10 pounds.
Nice.
You know, I'm just so robust with music, you know?
Where would you guys like the band to go next? I mean, what's the next step for it? Is it distribution for the albums? Is it touring? Is it both?
Both. Yeah, I, both. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty everything is pretty much self-contained and, you know, self-produced right now. Mm-hmm. with us and with the band. But ideally, yeah, distribution would be great. Mm-hmm. You know, worldwide distribution to get the record out there, and the touring would be nice. Yeah, yes. I hear touring's, you know, not a lot of fun, but I'd like to do it.
It is.
One.
It is rough. I've done it most of my life, and yeah, it's a little rough.
Yes. Though,
but I could totally see you guys. I don't know if this has entered your head or not, but I could totally see you guys opening up for Lee Rocker or Brian Setzer, though.
Your mouth to God's ears.
I had actually sent a few things to Brian Setzer's label over uh-huh. the last couple of years. And, you know, like with any business, I'm sure they get hit up a lot. But,
yeah
we thought that would be a
perfect match.
That would be a great match. And we've seen Lee Rocker. We know his guitar player, Buzz Campbell.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And, he's great, very talented guy.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's just kind of keeping all those lines open.
Yeah. And actually, one of his concerts that I went to with you, Tom, kind of influenced the song besides the swing dancers that you're watching that night. It facilitated the writing of one of the songs. We had seen Brian Setzer live at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh.
And Tom already had the title for this song and the concept. And the melody started to come to me right after I was inspired by watching Brian Setzer perform. So it's Spin Me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right after that. Because just the energy, I mean, the way he played with all those horns and I speak, it was amazing.
Sean, have you ever seen Setzer live?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I try to go to his Christmas shows every now and then.
Oh, no way. I do, too.
Yeah, I went to...
At Dolby.
Yeah, I went 2 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, talk about an experience because, I mean... He definitely was born in the wrong era.
Yes.
Well,
agreed.
Thank goodness for us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
I mean,
right,
come on.
For us. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But I mean, for him to travel with that big orchestra and everything, and then just the way to present everything. I mean, he's a fabulous guitar player. And just the way he does it, it's really awesome. And yeah, I mean,
well, when we first started doing the rockabilly thing, I'd been mostly a pop rock drummer.
Uh-huh.
So I looked up a couple of his albums, and his former tour drummer Bernie Dressel lives in L.A. here. So I called him up, and actually, I took a couple of lessons from him just to kind of get the whole rockabilly swing moves down, you know, on the drums. And then we had a gig a couple of years ago, and we were lucky enough to hire Setzer's bass player, John Hatton.
Oh, wow.
So he came in and did a gig with us out in the valley. So,
the connections are there then.
Oh, yeah, they really are. They are. It's and we're lucky enough to live in an area where, you know, these guys are, you know, they're just walking around like they're normal people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, should you talk to Brian Setzer?
Yes, please.
Yes. Yeah, I would say forget the label. I would say just send it to Brian himself or whatever, you know. That way, because Brian would have, I think, the yes or no to take you guys out on tour. And I just think it would definitely be a perfect fit for all the way around.
I think so, too.
Well, I hear he has a house in Palm Springs. So
Hey, road trip.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Road trip.
Let's go knock on the door.
All right.
Yeah, I know for us, we need to deal with a second interview with Trini Lopez. So you guys can hit up Brian. We'll go to Trini's house. You know, we'll catch up for lunch later on.
Okay.
I love it. Yeah. There we go.
We'll do lunch in Palm Springs.
And I like that you said lunch, not breakfast. Lunch.
Yeah.
Not a morning person.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what? I want to thank you guys for coming on. And I mean, just a wonderful interview and the insight on the band itself and how it came together. So I just want to thank you guys for that.
Well, thank you for having us, Sean.
Yes.
We really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I'm sorry I didn't get to hear earlier in the show. Who's the young lady that's there with
Hi,
you?
Guys.
Yes. This is my co-host, Amber.
Hi. And I'm
Amber. Hi, Amber.
I'm a little pint-sized like Aileen. I just want to give her a big hug.
And
I'll hug right back.
Aileen, she was so excited to.
I was having some squee moments. I'm like, oh my gosh, Annie's gonna be on. Oh my god.
See, you guys are the dream team, just like Tom and I. There you go.
Yeah.
Amber and Sean.
Yeah. Well, I want to play. We normally at the end of the show we play a game with our guests and everything. So these are called the Island Questions. So that we want to do with you guys here. So you're both retired now, okay? you're going to live on separate islands, though. And but you're retired, you're relaxed, you know, you did everything you wanted to do in life. But you can only take one candy bar with you. What would it be?
Ooh. Okay, hang on. I'm between two. Two came to my mind right away. I'm not a sugar person. I'm more of a savory myself. I tend to like more the chippy things, but if it's so it's going to have definitely some nuts in it, my candy bar. I'm between two. I think one candy bar, only one.
Yeah, only
I
one
pack
candy
really bar. Heavy. Only one. Yeah, also, as my tour mates know, I definitely do not pack light. So I'd really choose three, but if I have to choose one, I think I'm going to go Snickers. I almost
said yeah!
Snickers.
I'm going to go Snickers.
That's our number one answer.
I think you could survive on Snickers for a long time. There's enough protein and carbohydrates.
Yeah, and it's satisfying.
Oh, good. So that was a
right?
smart choice.
It's satisfying.
Okay, yeah. I'm the athletic person. Good. Okay,
all right.
Good.
Tom, what about you? What candy bar?
You know, coincidentally enough, that was always my go-to
yeah!
candy bar. But when they came out with the one with almonds in it, that was
Almond
like,
Joy? Wait, which one?
No, Snickers with almonds.
Oh,
with
yeah.
almonds instead, yeah. Yeah, that's a good
I
one.
I don't know
yeah,
about this
yeah,
yet.
That's been in the last 20 years or something. Uh-huh. Yeah, probably that.
They had Snickers with cross
okay. Snickers with peanut butter. That would be pretty bomb.
Yeah.
That would be
I know. My brain yep. just exploded.
Welcome to Snickers Talk, everybody. you guys can only take
Island.
Yeah, you guys can only take one album with you. What would it be?
You go first on this one. Do you know your album?
Gosh, there's so many.
I know. See, for me, okay, well, he's thinking for me because I feel like you might have an album. I know you're pretty specific with your taste. Me, I, like, as you can tell, like I just said, I threw in that rap in that song. My tastes go from, like, hip-hop to Broadway to funk to art. Like, I'm too all over the place.
Me
so
too.
I have to, like,
love
have
it.
One CD that would have every style on it depending on my mood. So for me, it's a mood thing with the music. Seriously, I couldn't pick one.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ailey. I mean, I'm exactly the same way, too. I mean, I'm all over the place. Everything from, like you said.
I mean,
from,
I really am. I'm yeah, really from, all over the place. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
So you
would have your own mixtape, basically, is what would you have?
Yes,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. You too?
Yeah, well, my first choice would be actually I was a big Rolling Stones fan years ago, and they put out a live album called Get Your Yeah Yeahs Out.
Oh, yes.
And
that's a good album.
That has everything from country to, you know, that Midnight Rambler and blues.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that would probably be a very special record to bring. But lately yeah. in the last 10 years, it's the Brian Setzer, his first big band album,
yeah.
just you know, pretty much knocks it out of the park, too.
Yeah.
So.
The Stones one, though, that's a good pull, Tom. That's a good pull.
It's a great album.
Okay, you guys could only take one movie with you. What would you watch?
Again, you're killing me here because I love drama as equal as I love comedy, and it depends on the mood.
So basically, you would take The Princess Bride.
Oh my gosh.
Actually, I do love that movie. That's actually a good choice, but no, that would just, especially if I'm on the island alone, I'd get too lonely if I would need my Wesley, so I'd have to join the islands together somehow.
So you would take Magic Mike then?
Oh my god.
No, okay. I would not take Magic Mike.
Okay.
But God bless them for doing that. That's a definite no. Wow, one movie? Do you know yours?
You know, I was just thinking of that, and not because we share a name, but I would have to say Groundhog Day.
Classic God. Bill Murray, yes.
You can watch that movie over and over.
Steve.
Hang on, I feel like I've had this conversation.
What day is
yeah,
it?
No, that movie is on so many levels, just you know, yeah. kind of reflects life and just human nature and all that. And I just, that's Ooh. One of my, and that's a movie that when it's on TV and I'm flipping channels, I always stop and watch it till mm-hmm. the end.
Yeah, we have a friend of ours that's in that movie, which is Ken Hudson Campbell.
Oh.
Who, what role was that?
He played the, kind of like the guy that worked at the hotel. The heavyset guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
The man in the hallway. The
man in the hallway, yeah.
Going over to see the groundhog?
Over and over again.
Yeah. All right, Aileen. What's your film, Aileen?
You know, if my mom is listening right now, she's gonna laugh because I so many movies I like I love and it deals with Ireland, like Forgetting Sarah Marshall, that cracks me up.
That's so good.
Russell, you know, Brown. I do love my Bridesmaids, so I do love my crazy comedies, but it depends if I'm on this island because I'm retired. You did say that. I'm not trying to survive. I'm not stranded. If I were stranded, it would be Gladiator because I would want to survive. I don't know why.
That's a good movie, though.
And it disturbs my mom that I do, but there's something about that movie that I just love. I don't know why.
Okay, so we'll give Magic Mike to your mom, and you'll take Gladiator. Okay, got it.
Oh, my gosh.
Even if my mom could handle Magic Mike, I don't even know if she knows about that movie. No. She was a Catholic school teacher for many years. No.
Okay, so that means she's seen both of them, then.
No, she hasn't.
Not by choice either.
I learned everything about that subject when I was in Catholic school, so I know how it works.
Oh no.
God bless you, my son.
Oh my gosh, stop. So I don't know. And Forgetting Sarah Marshall, that cracks me up, and I am on an island, so there you go.
All right. You guys can only take one food with you. What would it be?
One what?
One food.
One food.
Well, we already had dessert with the candy bar.
Right.
So you need a main course.
I'm going protein again. I mean, you need your... Actually, I'm going to combine the two again like I did with my bar, apparently. I'm going, which, again, my mom and dad know this from touring with Annie, the thing that they would always say at every hotel, but this is very kid-like, too, but I still love them. They'd say, what is she going to have? And they're always like, we know, hamburgers, french fries, and a Coke. But now I don't do the soda. I do coffee. But I would do hamburger.
Hamburger, all right.
Okay.
What's your favorite type?
Cheeseburger. Which got to get the cheese on it. Cheeseburger.
Okay. Yes. I was going to say, what is your favorite type of hamburger, though, Aileen?
I'm pretty classic. I just like your good old, you know, cheeseburger with lettuce, tomato, and maybe some red onion.
Red onion.
Stop.
Steve just got a
hamburger.
We're drooling. Cheeseburger.
Well, my answer was a Cobb salad, but now I'm thinking maybe it's In-N-Out.
See, I did. See, when I answer the question, I just cheated. I just went Asian food. Because that just covers everything.
Yeah. You know? Sushi.
Yeah.
What were you gonna say, Tom?
If you're gonna go that way, I'm gonna say holiday food. Because I like turkey dinners with cranberry sauce.
And if you're on an island, you can get fat. Nobody's looking. You're not trying. Exactly. You know, it's just you. Just get big.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure. By the time I'm retired, DoorDash will probably have a boat service.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh.
And this segment brought to you by Home Buffet.
Hometown Buffet.
Yeah.
Hometown Buffet.
Okay.
Golden Corral.
Golden Corral. There you go. You guys can only take one person for conversation's sake. It cannot be your spouse or significant other. Who would it be? And they could be dead or alive, and it could be anybody through history or whatever. Fiction, nonfiction, doesn't matter.
Well, I'm not just saying this because he's sitting here, but as you can see, we get a kick out of conversing, whether we're arguing about something or laughing about something. So I would say you, Tom.
Oh,
that's pretty
good. Wow. It's true.
That's a partner.
Serendipity again.
Yep, we're friends and songwriting partners. So I would take my buddy and I'd keep fighting and talking and learning and laughing.
I'm not climbing up any trees to get coconuts for you.
But you're so good at that.
Okay, Tom.
It's funny for me. I really like the idea of being alone on an island. I mean, it was like retired, alone.
Lots of food,
great music. But, you know, it's like, I don't need people. I got them on TV.
That's a true answer.
All right. Now here's gonna be a tough one for both of you though.
Oh boy.
Uh oh.
You could take one person for sexual gratification. Again, it cannot
my
be.
My parents are listening. Did you not hear me?
Yeah, but this is a Sean thing, so there's always a dirty element.
So, and again, it cannot be your spouse or significant other. Tom, you go first this time.
Dirty.
Well, Amber seems to have a nice voice.
Oh, boy. Well, I have to say, Tom, I am gay, so I have, you know, so I'm sorry. Okay.
You can bring a friend.
Oh, my God.
Hey, I've always been looking for two lesbians to come between.
Oh, great. Everyone always says that. My girlfriend and I are just like, really? Really? We hear that a lot.
Yeah. All right.
But thank you, Tom. Thank you.
Oh, sure.
I am complimented.
You're better cooked than I am.
Oh, you're pretty decent.
All right, Aileen, your
for
turn.
For me, I'm avoiding the answer. I do have someone in mind, but I will protect the innocent. And they can probably guess who they are, too, if for some reason they're listening to this podcast. They probably know.
Oh, wow. Dear. All right.
That was cryptic, and now we all want to know. Who is it?
It might come out in book form in the future.
I hope not. Again, I try to protect the innocent, but you never know.
But the question is, are they innocent?
but they're a wonderful person too. But no, not innocent.
Okay. All right.
We'll leave it at that.
Well, cool. Well, those are the island questions for you guys. So.
All right, great.
Yeah, this island sounds interesting.
Yeah.
It always is. It always is. Now, do you guys have to get going or anything like that, or you guys got a little bit more time?
We have a few minutes.
We got a few more minutes,
yeah.
Okay, great. Well, you know what? There's a trivia game that we also do at the end of every show, which is where we're at right now, too.
Okay.
So this is nothing more than a potpourri of questions. It doesn't matter how smart you are or whatever. They're just random trivia questions overall.
Oh, good. Well, Tom's going to be better at trivia than I am. I stink at trivia, but we'll give it a shot.
All right. So let's go ahead and hit the theme and take this off.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the game show that's causing Don Pardo to roll over in his grave, Quiz Me, Quiz You.
Zach, you better be on it this week.
Alrighty, and
I live my life.
Basically, your name is your buzzer if you think you know where the question is going.
Okay.
Well, that cleared the room.
Your name is the buzzer?
Okay. Yeah,
shout your name.
Shout out your name if you think you know where it's going, and then our
shout producer. Out your own name. That's weird. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, it is odd.
Or that other person you were talking about earlier, you know, whichever you want, Aileen.
Wow, Sean's really digging here, isn't he?
and our producer, Zach, will call on you, and then you just go ahead and give the answer. So let's go ahead. Question number one.
That's my line. What percentage of our bodies is made up of water?
Steve.
Amber.
Oh,
Amber.
Wait, who did I get it? Did I get it? Or did
it's Steve?
Steve got it.
Oh.
Okay. Try.
80%.
Boom.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Aileen was going to say 80% as well. Are we right?
No, that is wrong. When you hear the buzzer, that means that you are incorrect.
I'm excited about this. And I'm jumping on my
seat. Then Amber was next.
I think it's 73%.
No.
Damn it.
Tom.
Sorry, Mom and Dad.
87.
No.
It's Sean.
It's in the
everyone's too high so far.
Sean.
Really?
60%.
That is correct.
Oh, no, it's in the...
It is between 60 and 65%.
Yeah, that's somebody for who's not drinking enough water.
Me.
Look, I don't write the questions.
Listen, I have a degree in biology. It is not true. That one is inaccurate. Throw
but
that
this
out.
Is from the internet.
Wow.
So clear
inquiry.
Throw it out.
Inquiry already.
Look, this is from the internet, and the internet is never wrong. Question number two.
Wow, Zach.
Hey, that's a direct quote from Abraham Lincoln. All right.
What does the acronym AIDS stand for?
Oh,
Steve. Amber.
Amber.
Autoimmune disease.
Incorrect.
Disorder? Shit.
I heard Aileen go next.
I keep cussing.
No,
sorry.
Say, no, I could. We need you to repeat it. What
repeat
said?
The question.
Oh, what does the acronym AIDS stand for?
Okay, wait.
Sean. Acquired Immune Deficiency Syndrome.
That is correct.
Wow.
Very good.
Are you looking
very
at the computer?
Good.
No, I'm not.
Okay, I guess I need to speak up.
I'm looking at a picture of Mickey Dolenz right now.
He knows because he took his test recently.
Oh, wait, no, that's Peter Tork. Never mind. Okay.
Sure doesn't make you Tork?
Yeah.
Question number three. What American state is the largest by area?
Steve. Confusion.
Yes. I mean, no.
By area?
The largest state by area.
Oh, come on, guys.
Wait, California?
We're in it.
You have to say your name.
Aileen. I think we're living in it, right?
Yeah, we're here.
No.
We have arrived. Is it? Oh, I know what it is.
Oh, wait,
Amber.
Amber.
Tejas. It's got to be Texas.
Nope.
Really?
Remember, Sean, it's by area.
I get
Sean,
it after.
Alaska.
Florida.
That's correct.
That's it.
Alaska.
So far, Sean has gotten everyone.
Huge. You know, really? Nobody wants to go there.
It's so huge.
Right.
Nobody wants to go there.
It doesn't even exist. Nobody wants to go there.
Question number four. It's another kind of a little trick one. Which two countries share the longest or largest international border? Steve.
United States and Canada.
That's right.
Really?
Wow, you're on fire.
Wow. I was thinking it would be China and Russia.
China.
But they're... and we're...
Oh, okay. All right.
Steve's a sleeper on the quiz a lot of times. He's
normally on it.
He gets
it, yeah.
In there and nails it sometimes.
I just woke up. What are we doing?
Aileen and Tom are on the phone.
Oh, hi, Aileen. Hi, Tom. How you doing? Hey, Aileen, I had to tell you, my great-grandfather was born in San Fernando, Chile.
Oh, wow.
Question number five. Which country did AC/DC originate in?
Amber. Australia.
Wow, yes, that was...
And
wow,
in Australia, they call it Akadaka.
Really?
Yes, I'm dead. It's the most annoying thing. I dated an Australian lady. It's the most annoying thing ever. It's like, no, it's AC/DC.
I have heard that, Amber, yeah.
Akadaka, really? I never knew that. Yeah. Wow.
All I heard was Waka Waka.
Yeah, me too.
Waka Waka. Question number Waka. Six. All right, I don't think anyone in this room is going to get this, so...
Tom Aileen, will.
Tom and Aileen, will. You're on deck.
No, I have faith in Tom, too. Go ahead, let's hear it.
Which popular TV show featured House Targaryen and Stark?
Oh, gosh, Amber.
Amber.
House Targaryen?
Game of Thrones, really?
Yeah, that's right.
Never seen that show.
Right, oh, it's Game of Thrones, me neither.
It's pretty
Nobody's
epic.
Seen it.
I'm a total.
I was going to say Starsky and Hutch, but
that's
I was way
not
wrong.
Right. That's yeah.
Question number seven. All right, there was three Indiana Jones movies. Oh no, I'm sorry, okay.
four.
There was four.
Four.
My bad.
Were, well, that's right,
there
were four.
Actually, the fifth one's supposed to be coming together next year. Mm-hmm. Now, which one of them was released in 1984?
Ooh. Okay, so that's the second one. The first one came out when I was doing Annie, and I saw that before I filmed. That was the is it Temple of Doom?
You have to say your name.
Aileen and Tom.
Aileen and Tom.
Time.
Zach, give him a break.
Yeah. Yes, they got it. Well, I'm just following the rules. If I do something wrong, I got to hear about it from Sean, and that's not fun for anybody.
Uh-huh. You can
true.
Give the guests a break.
Temple of Doom. Woohoo!
There you go. God. Forgot. Wait, question number eight?
Yes.
Probably.
How many are there?
10. There's 10.
Okay, phew.
This one's fun for me, but this is pretty easy for everyone else. As soon as I read it, everyone in the room's going to go, oh, God, here we go. Which cartoon character?
Oh, God, here we go.
Amber, SpongeBob.
Holy shit, that's right.
That's correct.
You need to say his name first.
Easy.
Wow, precog. Amber went precog on that one.
I know. I'm my Minority Report incarnate.
Should I even
do the voice? Just do the
should
voice.
Should I even read the rest of this?
But do it in SpongeBob so Aileen can hear
Zach
it.
Zach does. He is amazing at this. Okay, ready?
Okay.
Which cartoon character lives in a pineapple under the sea?
Bikini Bottom.
Oh, yeah, in Bikini Bottom.
That's not in the question.
Yeah.
That's why I watch
the
show.
Cartoons I do know. I don't know a lot of money cartoons. Okay, good.
That was right. Fun for
question
only me.
Nine.
Question number nine. Oh, that's the wrong button. That's the right one.
It's a classy show here.
It is.
Well-oiled machine.
Yeah. Did you say gassy?
Yes, that too.
This is a...
Glad
one.
We didn't make it down to the stage.
Boy, are you missing out.
You got the eighth dwarf here.
How many hearts does an octopus have?
Oh, God, I knew this one time.
Shoot.
Sean. I want to say four.
Then do it.
I was going to double that and say, but that's crazy. That
one for each tentacle. That's what I was going to say.
I was going to say eight, right? I don't know. That's crazy, though. Eight?
Darn.
Two.
Tom says two.
Oh, sorry.
No.
Pay attention.
Now, is it a ratio that coordinates with its legs, not leg number? No?
No.
Okay.
That's where I was going.
Eight's already been said. Steve?
Three.
Amber, that is right.
Oh, three hearts. Wow. Okay.
Well, then I had to think they can lose a limb and grow it back. So I was like, oh, maybe right. That doesn't really count. Three hearts. I love octopi. Well, now they say octopus. But now you have to say octopus, that they changed it back to that for the plural.
There's no more pie?
No more pie.
Oh,
no,
man.
But there is a question number nine.
Oh. Is it about pie?
No.
God. Aren't you guys glad you didn't come in now?
Is it March 14th already?
Oh.
So, Steve. Oh.
What's March 14th?
Yeah, what's happening then?
I don't even know.
Everyone's wearing green.
What's in the 3.14.
Oh, it's pie.
Yes. Yes. St.
It's
pie.
Oh, that's what it was?
Oh. Pie day, yes.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Zach.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, that was just
all right.
Felt necessary.
good timing.
Yeah, shut up. What's the fastest animal in the world?
Steve. Cheetah.
Cheetah.
Aileen concurs.
Thank you, Aileen.
I do. You beat me to it. Yes, I think.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And for the final question, which animal symbolizes good luck in Europe?
In Europe, not Asia.
China would be the cricket.
And there's elephant, too, is one of the countries, but that's
India.
Not... Right. That's Asian. Europe.
I didn't know Europe had a good luck in
Steve. Okay, I'll give... Steve, go ahead.
The leprechaun.
The cat.
It's got to be good a dog luck. Or something English, something Englishy. No. Something...
It is not... I'll give you a clue. It is an insect.
Oh.
Ooh.
An insect in Europe.
A butterfly?
It's kind of a cute... It's a cute insect.
Like cricket? Like, is it...
Oh, a beetle.
Those are hideous.
His buds are happy right now, guys.
I am.
Wow.
In the eye of the beholder.
Nice.
Oh, is that an answer?
What about a moth? A moth? No? Those are kind of
cricket? No.
Moths are cute. They're all fuzzy little teddy bears with wings.
It has red on it.
Has red.
Pass. I love
Sean.
It.
Sean. I'm going to say the ladybug.
There you go.
Did he say that?
Oh, you did?
Did you say it, Tom?
Yeah.
Well, the point goes to Tom then.
Go, yay.
Back it up. Right. We got to go. Back it up.
Everyone back it up.
There we go.
Game, set, match.
Woo! Oh, cool. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate
it. Thank you for having us.
Thank absolutely. Do you guys have any? You guys got some dates coming up, don't you?
Yep,
we do. The first one is next weekend, Pasadena Ballroom on February 1st.
Oh, yep. Fun!
And then Soho Dance, and then
Joe's Bar in Burbank on February 11th.
Yeah.
Soho Dance February 23rd.
And there's a few that are pending right now, so
we might be back at Shenanigans in March.
Yes,
not sure
correct.
Yet.
All right, and then to catch up on any of those dates too, if you guys didn't get a chance to write it down because you're driving in your car or anything like that, just go to Aileen Quinn and the Leapin' Lizards. There's no G in Leapin'. .com and go to the shows, and all their shows are listed there for you guys. Make sure you get both of their albums, Spin Me and Lightning and Thunder. Both great albums. They're really, really good. And just keep your eyes out for them because these guys are a great band, and they're just wonderful. And it's always nice to see Aileen just belt out some of these great cover tunes.
I think we
could
do like a little field trip, you guys.
Oh, absolutely.
Nice. Do it.
Yeah, why not? Last time I got to see them, you guys were in Long Beach at this neat little pub over there, too. So.
Oh, come back to Long Beach. Come back to Long Beach. Yep. Yay.
Sounds good. Maybe in March. And I'd love to meet you. You sound feisty, Amber. So
I am.
She is. And next time we definitely got to...
Thank you.
And next time we definitely got to get you guys in the room next time.
Yeah.
But make the show an evening show in that case.
Hey, we could do that for you, and then and do
we
a replay.
We
could do
that
in replay, absolutely. So, all righty. Well, you guys take care, and thank you for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
Great, thank you, Sean, Amber, and that mystery voice in the background.
Yes.
Steve,
the old man,
and producer Zach.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
See you on the flip side.
Will do. Take care, Aileen. There you go. Good bunch of people.
That was fun.
So much fun.
I love fun.
It's always nice to have fun.
Fun is fun.
Yeah.
Except when it's fun.
Oh, Steve.
Oh, turn this one up a little bit. I do love this song. This is called Believe.
Years gone by, I'm amazed how we've both come so far. We've been through the desert. We've been through the storm.
I love her voice.
I know, it's fantastic.
Myself in your arms. Cause we
all those harmonies.
So awesome.
Cause we
Alrighty, guys, and if you want to follow us anywhere, like on Facebook, it's pretty simple. It's Your Weekly Dose. On Twitter and Instagram, it's Your Weekly Dose 1.
We have 723 followers now.
Nice.
I know. Boom, boom, boom.
Awesome.
Whoa. Thank you, guys.
Yes.
If you want to follow me, Steve, Twitter is at SilvaLining69. And my Facebook is Steve Silva.
You have to put the 69 in every time. Yeah, it's very Steve.
Talk to V.
Yeah, V's the one who created it.
Did she really?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, she's the one who came up with
you
it.
You have a reputation. That's all I'm saying. That's why she did that, probably.
There's a reason
both
I have
of you.
It.
It's in his own area code, so it's okay.
Okay.
Don't worry about
fine,
it.
Fine, fine, fine. I am at Amber Ash McCary, no spaces, on Instagram. And Facebook, you'll just see me on the Your Weekly Dose page. I'll put something up there.
Absolutely.
Randomly.
Don't you have a dash in there? I thought you
had
a dash.
My name is hyphenated, Ash hyphen McCary.
Oh.
I do that just to spite my kid's dad. Don't tell him.
Knows now.
He doesn't listen.
I'm at Instagram. I'm on Instagram at Zombie Mel Gibson.
And if you want to follow me, Sean, it's pretty simple. It's just simply Sean Roberts, HC, no matter what social media it is, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
You're consistent.
I am.
That's one thing about you. You're a consistent person.
I try to be.
You are.
I try to be. So
I would say that about you in general.
It looks like it's going to be a beautiful weekend out there, so go out and enjoy it. And again, thank you to Aileen Quinn and Tom Murray for being on the show. Such a great interview.
That was a fun interview. A lot of fun. It was. It was really it just kept moving, and people had things to say, and they were having fun. You could tell in their voices.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait to go
see them live.
Oh, it's fun.
I want to go.
It's really a good band.
Rockabilly is just fun.
It is.
Like, Big Bad Voodoo Daddies are fun. All those kinds of shows are just, like, they have a blast.
Mm-hmm. And that's what they need to do. They need to get a little
Zach
bit more
Zach is wrapping
exposure,
us up.
So.
I'll wrap this.
All right, guys. We'll catch you guys next week when we actually have our anniversary show.
Yeah.
And so we're having an awful lot of fun with that. So we'll see you next week.
Three years.
Be good to each other.
3 long years.
Goodbye, world.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.